You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 517 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland. It is now Sunday morning, officially, after a Saturday night contest between the Hawks and the Portland Trail Blazers up in Portland. A very interesting game, back-and-forth game, and a competitive game. Ended up with a 120-111 loss for the Hawks at the hands of the Blazers. That's kind of what you might expect, honestly, at the same time. It was definitely important to note that it was a back-and-forth game in a lot of ways. The Hawks led for portions of this contest after a pretty slow start. It was coming and going as things went on in the second half, but in the end, it was Portland taking advantage of a one long stretch of Hawks ineffectiveness offensively in the fourth quarter, and that was able to key that 9-point win for the home team. Worth noting here at the top that the Blazers were without their best player in this game. Chris Haynes of Yahoo reported about 3 p.m. Eastern time that Damian Lillard, the all-star guard, was not going to play as a result of rest. It's worth noting that he was officially a game-time decision with knee soreness, according to the Blazers, but Haynes dubbed that as rest. I'm sure Dame's knee probably isn't feeling 100% great, but not a ton of mystery there, honestly, by the time that was actually sort of out there publicly. And just for background's sake, the Blazers were actually 10.5-point favorites when that news broke, and it got down to about 8.5. So the game actually landed 9. So once again, Vegas kind of knows what they're talking about most of the time. But an interesting game, and still Portland was expected to win this game at home because they are better than the Hawks. I will say that the talent gap is not massive without Lillard. Obviously, with Lillard, Portland is a playoff-caliber team in the West playing at home. You expect that team to hold serve against the Hawks in their own building. But without Lillard, this is definitely a winnable spot for Atlanta, and they played pretty well for large swaths of this game, just weren't able to close the gap in the end. So we'll start at the top, as we always do here. It was pretty kind to the Blazers in the first quarter, I will say. They opened up with DeAndre Bembry guarding CJ McCollum, who was definitely the best player for Portland, both coming into the game, given that Lillard was not available, and throughout the game. CJ was fantastic. Actually had a triple-double, which we'll talk about more as we get going here. But it was Bembry on him for most of the game when he was playing. But when Bembry left the court, it was basically McCollum having free reign, and that was a big part of why the Hawks struggled defensively at times. There was an 8-2 run from the Hawks, actually, to go up by an 11-7 margin early in the first quarter, with John Collins scoring 6 straight points. That was very helpful. But from that point forward in the first quarter, it was almost all Blazers. There was an 8-0 run by Portland to go up by 4. Kevin Huerter came out of the game pretty early in both halves, honestly. That was kind of surprising. They went to Torian Prince early both times. I just want to point that out. And of course, the Hawks also went to a 2-point guard lineup at one point out of a TV timeout in the first quarter. That's a couple of just rotational notes to note there. And also, the Hawks played 11 guys in the first quarter, which was, you know, not out of the ordinary, but something to certainly keep in mind here. There was a 9-0 run from the Blazers to go up by 11, and a 17-2 run overall from Portland to take sort of control of the game. In the first quarter, there was a stretch where the Hawks were without a wing stopper in trying to guard CJ McCollum. It was Tyler Dorsey. It was Torian Prince. It was other guys that didn't go necessarily great. Dorsey got the minutes ahead of Hamilton and Anderson in this game. It was all Dorsey as the fourth wing. And the lineup that actually, this actually happened a couple times in the game, but there was a lineup with Dorsey, Prince, and Spellman together. It did not go very well on defense, especially. Not too surprising, but I guess when you're trying to just tinker with lineups, that's something that you have to keep in mind. There were 30 points scored in the first 9 minutes of the game for Portland. They opened 10 of 14 from the floor. Defense was definitely a problem. Vince Carter did come into the game, which was worth noting because today was his birthday, and Vince was the fifth player in NBA history to play in an NBA game after turning 42 years old, joining a pair of former Hawks and Kevin Willis and Dikembe Mutombo as well. So shouts to Vince Carter, who actually had a couple of nice contributions along the way here, but him coming in, he was actually number 11 of 11 in the rotation in this spot. But the Hawks trail by as many as 13 in the first quarter, a 153 defensive rating in the first 12 minutes. That's really bad. Blazers kind of did whatever they wanted offensively. McCollum scored or assisted on 20 points. And but despite the fact that the Hawks were actually pretty good offensively, in the first quarter. They actually had 9 assists, which is a ton in a quarter. 8 points for John Collins. But Collins only played 5 minutes, and that was sort of led to foul trouble. We'll talk more about Collins and his deployment at the end of this game, but he finished with 2 fouls. So, that's one portion of this where I think the leash should be longer a little bit in the first quarter from Collins, in the first half when he's dealing with, I guess, quote-unquote foul trouble. I understand the conventional wisdom is to send that guy to the bench and kind of be careful with him. Being careful with him is one thing, but sort of the auto bench is something that I don't really love about the way they're handling Collins at times in the first quarter, in the first halves of games, but we'll come back to that in a moment. The second quarter was basically the exact opposite. You know, the Hawks lost the first quarter 40-30, and the second they actually won it 34-23 because, the defense was much better, but offensively they were also more effective. There was an opening 3 from Vince Carter, and Collins hit another one on the next trip to have a sort of a snap 6-0 run to start the quarter. That forced a timeout from Portland. A couple of nice passes from Torian Prince along the way in the first half, including a lob to Collins for a 3-point play. Later on, there was a 17-6 run from Atlanta to open the second quarter, take the lead from that point. It was back-to-back floaters from Trae Young, who was really good that mid-range game in this game, and also another layup after that from Trae. McCollum left the court, and that was a huge thing, as we sort of see throughout the game. Just as a spoiler alert here, McCollum was plus 23 in a game that they only won by 9 points. So it was basically all the starters were awesome for Portland, and all the bench guys were really bad for Portland in terms of their plus minuses. That was not a fluke at all. There was a lot of swings when Portland had their best players leave the floor, and that was definitely key by McCollum. So a 7-0 run, though, by Portland to reclaim the lead briefly in the second quarter, but the Hawks actually were able to take the lead into halftime because they only had 4 turnovers in the first half. That is very, very noteworthy because this Hawks team's been sort of legendarily terrible at sort of protecting the ball this season. For the game, they only had 11 turnovers, which is really, really good for the Hawks, but still only 4 in the first half. That is a landmark occasion for this Hawks team. They played very well in the first half offensively. 15 assists, 4 turnovers, a 125 offensive rating. They shot 57% from the floor in the second quarter alone. They got to the line 9 times in the second quarter. Trae Young was really good. They forced 7 turnovers defensively. Just a great quarter of play from Atlanta in the second to sort of set the tone and allow them to sort of hang around for most of the night. Still, the third quarter was definitely back in the Blazers' favor. A 22-11 start in that third quarter. Portland led by as many as 10 during that stretch. A quick hook again for Kevin Huerter. That was noteworthy in that it kind of screwed up the rotation just a little bit. And we saw a lot of Torian Prince as a result of that. They went with the full second unit, Lloyd Pierce did, in the third quarter pretty early in the third. That was a curious choice, in my opinion. With C.J. McCollum still on the floor, they went to a lineup that basically just can't guard him. It was Jeremy Lin, it was Tyler Dorsey, it was Torian Prince, it was Amari Spellman. You just can't guard with that group against a guy like C.J. That's a group that you probably get away with against a second unit on the other side of the floor, but that was a curious choice to be sure. We'll come back to that in a moment. But there was a nice 10-3 run in the offing coming after that from the Hawks to get back within 3. They shot pretty well in the third quarter, 50% from the floor. That Portland was better, 55% from the floor, only 2 turnovers from the Blazers in the third quarter. They were really good. Still, 20 points from Trae Young through 3 quarters, 17 for Collins. This is the craziest stat of the night, I'll be honest with you. This came from the Portland Trail Blazers broadcast. They were 30-0 coming into the game when leading after 3 quarters. 30-0 after 3 quarters, and they were 0-20 when they were not leading after 3 quarters. And that continued in this game. They're now 31-0 after leading for 3 and 0-20 when they don't. But the 0-20 is almost crazier than the 30-0. Not winning a single game with a comeback in the fourth quarter is crazy, but also not giving one up. No ties. Just one of those crazy, fluky stats that tell a story, to be sure, but a pretty crazy one to hear. Almost had to check that myself. It was a wild one, to be sure. Anyway, in the fourth quarter, sort of back and forth to a degree. Portland got by 7 early on. The Hawks went with a smaller lineup after a timeout by Pierce. Went to Collins at the 5 with Carter at the 4. Vincent at 3, sort of rewarding that decision pretty quickly to get back within 1 with 7:18 to go. The Hawks were down by 1 point. There was a timeout on the floor by Portland, and they went back with a rotation of a lineup of Jeremy Lin, DeAndre Bembry, Torian Prince, Vince Carter, and Dwayne Dedmon after that timeout. At 7:18 is a very important number because the Hawks did not score again until the 2:11 mark of the game. 5 minutes and 7 seconds of scoreless basketball for the Hawks. During that time, it was a 13-0 run from the Blazers to go up, to take their lead from 1 to 14. It was 101-100, and then it was suddenly 114-100. And by the time the drought expired, that was the end of the game because the Hawks were suddenly down by 14 points with 2:11 to go, and that was the end of that. They took John Collins and Trae Young out of the game during that run. I will say they were out of gas, pretty visibly out of gas at that point in time. I saw a lot of Hawks fans talking about the fact that they were able to take them out right there, and that was sort of led to what Portland was able to do. I agree with that in that when they left the court, it was not a coincidence that the Hawks were not able to play as well without those guys on the court, because they were by far the two best players for the Hawks in this game. With that said, they had to come out because of the way that it was handled before that. If you were watching, and I went back and looked at it, even the replays and stuff, it was pretty clear that they were not going to be able to close the game. They came out with, you know, 5-6 minutes to go. They were not going to be able to play the rest of the way credibly. Those guys are not really conditioned to do that with the way that they were handled. You know, Collins sat a lot in the first quarter. Young didn't play a ton before that. I know if you look at the minutes at the end of the game, 32 for Young, 29 for Collins, you think that they could have played more, and I would agree with you if the rotation was set up differently. So my big issue with that would be that the way that they were deployed before then. They had to take them out with the way that they chose to do that. I would have changed the rotational pattern from before that end of game stretch. At some point, they would have to get a blow. It turned out that it was going to be pretty pronounced when they came out together that they were not able to score during that run. Still, my issue again is not with taking them out right then. It was the way they were used before that, and they probably should have been staggered, for instance. You don't want to go out that really at all in the fourth quarter of a game without Young or Collins on the court if you're the Hawks, with the way they run their offense. But just the way that it worked out was kind of easy to throw some shade at Lloyd Pierce. I know a lot of the fan base was kind of upset by that, and I understand why, because if you just look up and you see a stretch where the Hawks can't score and their two best offensive players are off the floor during that stretch, it does become kind of glaring and you point fingers at the coach. I'm with you on that. I understand it. But again, my problem would be not really that substitution, because at that point they had to come out. They were pretty much gassed, and they were coming back in pretty quickly. There wasn't really a stoppage because the Hawks couldn't get a stop and they couldn't score. But it was the rotation before that. Collins getting sort of auto-benched in the first quarter, for instance. Young kind of being handled interestingly in the third quarter with playing two-point guard lineup with Jeremy Lin, so not coming out as early as you probably would want him to. The way that Herter was handled as well. Just a lot of different rotational things here. It's a reminder that Lloyd Pierce is a first-year head coach. I'm still a fan of Lloyd Pierce. I think he's doing a very nice job. But there have been some rotation things this season that have not been perfect by any means. He'll definitely learn about that. And I think this is one example of that where I wouldn't necessarily like burn the place down because of the fact that they took Collins and Young out right then, because again, I think it was probably the only decision with how they were used before that. But the problem was how they were used before that. So just file that away for the future. But again, one more time here, a 5-minute and 7-second stretch where the Hawks were 0 of 11 from the floor, and they were outscored 13-0. That's how you lose a game against a solid, credible team. The Hawks may have lost this game anyway, even if they had played Young and Collins or differently, because Portland was still probably a little bit better, even on their home court, than the Hawks were over a full game's specter. But, you know, going down by 13-0 over a 5-minute stretch and not scoring at all is going to get you beat most of the time, and it definitely got the beat there. So the final score was 9 points. That was probably fitting. It was right on the Vegas number, which was about 8.5 or 9 when the game started. So no huge surprises there, but the Hawks were probably closer than that for most of the night, and sort of that's worth pointing out. So big picture stuff, offensively, the Hawks were pretty solid. A 110.7 offensive rating, that's nearing the top 10 mark in the league, to be sure. A 46% clip from the field, 36% from three, got to the line 20 times, had 24 assists, which is kind of low for this Hawks team. They were able to do a lot of things sort of one-on-one at times and be pretty effective. 55% true shooting, only 11 turnovers. In general, they did enough offensively to win this game, because Atlanta would win, you know, maybe not all the time with that offensive rating, but in general, they did enough offensively. It was the defense where they just couldn't get stops. I know the one bad stretch in the fourth quarter was a big offensive problem, but the entire game was a defensive problem. They allowed a 119.6 defensive rating. That is very bad. 50% from the floor for Portland, 37% from three, 90% from the free throw line. They had 26 assists, 11 offensive rebounds. Hawks just didn't play that well defensively. Again, it was all the starters. I mentioned that before, but you know, CJ McCollum, 28 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds, was plus 23. Yusuf Nurkic at 15-9. 16 for Mo Harkless, 17-8 for Atlanta's own, I guess Norcross's own, Al-Farouq Aminu. They were just better in the starting lineup. Seth Curry had 22 points, including 4 threes. They made a lot of shots when their better players were out there. They definitely missed Dame Lillard, to be sure, in this spot. But their bench, you know, Portland's bench was terrible. So credit to Atlanta for taking advantage of that. But when all the guns were out and the best players were on the court for both teams, Portland was just better, and CJ was the best player on the court. That's why they won this game. So that's going to kind of do it for the overarching stuff in this spot, but they just couldn't stop McCollum. That was at the end of the day, that was very, very important. So after a quick break, we'll come back and talk about the individual play in this game. I do want to remind you about the podcast and subscribing to the show. Please go ahead and do that. I had a nice long conversation with Tyler Jones, good friend of the program, on Friday's podcast. So if you missed that one, I know it's long, but sort of break it up if you want to. Spend some time with us. We went deep on a number of different topics, including the NBA draft and John Collins, DeAndre Bembry, Justin Anderson, lots of different stuff on that podcast. I always like talking to Tyler. That was a fun one. And please subscribe. Please pick whichever podcast platform that you enjoy the most, or multiple ones if you want to go that route. But we should be anywhere that you listen to podcasts. And if we're not, please let me know that. So after this short break, we'll come back and talk about the individual play in this game. All right, and we're back to talk about the players and how they performed in the spot for Atlanta. We'll go to the bench first in this game. A pretty interesting showing from some of these guys off the bench. Tyler Dorsey was sort of number 11 at the end of the day with only 9 minutes played. He did get the call over Daniel Hamilton and Justin Anderson, who are both available in this spot. Dorsey only played 9 minutes, but 3 points, an assist, two fouls for Tyler. You know, he was tasked with trying to guard TJ McCollum. That's a really tough matchup for anybody, especially Tyler Dorsey, sort of cold off the bench. He did a credible job at times, he was definitely playing hard, but that's not a matchup that he is going to win very often. Did make his only three-point attempt, which is what you want to see from him. Otherwise, didn't make too much of an impact, but that's worth pointing out. Alex Len didn't play much in this game, which was kind of interesting to me. They went small at times with Collins at center, and they played Spellman quite a bit as well. But Len, 14 minutes. Not a great performance from him. 9 points, five rebounds. Looks solid, two block shots. He got into it with Nurkic a few times. Nurkic just kind of outplayed him at times around the rim. Len was fine, though, in general. Was pretty productive for the most part. Made his only three-point attempt. That was a corner three. That was a nice one to see. But, you know, he was okay. Didn't make a huge impact, but was solid enough. Elsewhere, Vince Carter, 15 minutes of play, 6 points, four rebounds, made a couple of threes, which is why he's out there for the most part. Missed both free throws that he took, which was interesting. Not really a spot where you normally see that happen for Vince. Had a block shot, which was good to see, and was generally solid. It was good that the Hawks used him in the way they did. They were playing him against the lineups that included like Myers Leonard and Jake Lehman. That's probably good to hide him defensively a little bit against those groups. Amari Spellman, 15 minutes. He was solid enough. I will say that the drop-off, again, is just massive from Collins to Spellman and Collins to Carter. It's not their fault necessarily, but 5 points, four rebounds from Amari, two turnovers. He had a couple of bad moments defensively, as he's probably always going to have during his rookie season. Did have a very nice pick-and-pop three. This sort of highlighted the reason why the Hawks like him so much offensively. He's very good at setting his feet and getting that shot off. It's probably his best weapon offensively right now. 2-3 from the floor, one of one from three, but, you know, defensively, it just kind of is what it is. Torian Prince played 36 minutes in this game. That is way too much, frankly. I know Kevin Herter struggled a little bit with his shot. We'll come back to that in a moment, but Prince leading the team in minutes by a lot is something that I did not really want to see in this game. I will say, and I said this even live during the game, I thought Prince was pretty good in the first half. He was much more efficient, played much harder defensively, had a couple of nice pocket passes, played decently in the first half, definitely cooled off after that. Had 11 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 3 fouls in 36 minutes, was minus 5. 5 of 14 from the floor, 1 of 5 from 3. Just took a lot of bad shots in the second half, kind of reverted to where he had been in the previous games, which is unfortunate to see. You know, not really his fault necessarily. He was kind of relied on to initiate some offense at times in the fourth quarter especially. But, you know, in general, I think Torian was probably overusing himself in the fourth quarter and really the entire second half. First half, Prince was pretty solid. Second half, Prince was kind of the reversion. So we'll see how he looks moving forward here. And finally off the bench, Jeremy Lin. 10 points, 6 assists, which is nice to see. Only and against, especially against no turnovers, that's very nice to see from Lin, who had been turning the ball over too much this season so far. Minus 12, though, worst among the bench guys. 4-13 from the floor, 0-2 from 3. He just wasn't necessarily very efficient as a scorer in this game. The passing is good. He actually was second on the team in assists behind Trae Young in only 21 minutes, but still the shot just wasn't falling for Jeremy. 4-13 is not great to get to 10 points. To the starter lineup in this game, we'll start with Kevin Herter, who we mentioned a moment ago. 1-8 from the floor for Herter, 0-5 from 3. He returned after a two-game absence with a sore neck. That might have been why he played a little bit less in this game and why he got hooked early in both halves to go with Torian Prince. I thought Herter didn't play as poorly as the numbers indicate in terms of his shooting. You know, obviously, his shooting is not great. He was not really that productive either. 3 points, one rebound, one assist, one steal. Just kind of was out there in a way that we kind of haven't seen from him since his early portion of the season where he was pretty timid. He didn't really have it going in terms of playing with force in this game. It wasn't like he was – I don't think he was terrible, honestly. But at the same time, he's got to make shots to stay on the court and just wasn't playing with as much force as he was playing with before that. So we'll see how healthy he is. The Hawks don't play again until Monday night, so they have another full day off. They have some travel, obviously, to have to go from Portland to Los Angeles, but we'll see if Herter is a bigger part of the game plan on Monday. Dwayne Dedman, 23 minutes, was a little bit less than you would see from him normally as well. Had some foul trouble, though. Had 4 fouls, 11 points, 4 steals, and 3 blocks for Dwayne Dedman. It's something that wasn't jumping off the page to me during the game, and I saw that afterwards before we started podcasting, and I went back and found those. He was active, I will say. 11 points is just fine. 4 of 8 from the floor, 1 of 4 from 3. He's not shy about shooting, and he probably shouldn't be with the way he shot the ball for a while now. I thought he was pretty just solid-ish across the board. Not a bad game, not a good game for Dwayne. Just kind of an average, maybe a little bit slightly above average game from Dedman because of the defensive activity that he brought to the table. DeAndre Bembry was pretty quiet, especially offensively. 2 points, 1 of 5 from the floor, 0 of 1 from 3. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 2 turnovers for DeAndre. Had 4 fouls. I wish he had played a little bit more, honestly, and been just sort of more shadowing McCollum. He's really the only guy on the roster actively that would have been a good defender on McCollum. The other option would be Kent Bazemore, of course, but he's not been available for quite a while now. So I think I would have played Bembry more and just had him just kind of have that one singular focus of slowing down McCollum. And if that had happened, maybe the Hawks have a better chance to stop the Blazers. But, you know, I get it. It is what it is. And that was his role when he was out there. I probably just would have been more intentional about sort of having him shadow McCollum throughout the game. John Collins had a very nice game, obviously. He was efficient, as he always is here. 21 points, 8 of 12 from the floor, 2 of 3 from 3, 3 of 4 from the free throw line. 6 rebounds, an assist, and 2 offensive rebounds. I will say, you know, I mentioned it briefly before, but I think they treated him too much with kid gloves in this game in terms of his fouls in the first quarter. I know he had 2, and that kind of requires you to pull him out for a while, but he finished the game with 2. John has been a little bit better avoiding fouls this year. Not a huge strike. We talked about that on the most recent podcast with Tyler Jones. But, you know, John was very efficient, very strong around the rim, as he usually is in this game. And he was by far the Hawks' best player on the front court. So probably could use a little bit more of him as a general rule. And, you know, going back to the rotational questions, he needed to play more in this game, kind of however that happened. And the Hawks sort of felt the brunt of it with him not playing as much as he probably should have in this spot. And finally, Trae Young had a huge game, 30 points. 30 points for Trae Young on only 15 shot attempts. 8 assists as well. 4 turnovers is probably a little bit too many, but it's okay when you have 8 assists and you're scoring as well. 11 of 15 from the floor, 3 of 6 from 3, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. It was maybe his best game of his career in terms of just the way that he was finishing around the rim in the floater game. He had one kind of hilariously wild floater in the first half that went off the glass and went in. I'm not really sure how that one went down, but the rest of them were very under control, quality looks. He finished around the rim. He was crafty. He exploded through contact a few different times. I thought Trae was very, very good off the bounce in this game. Also shot the ball from 3 well, which is what you want to see from him. The shooting's been much, much better since the very rough start to the season in terms of his threes. But tonight, it was basically him getting kind of wherever he wanted to off the bounce, getting into the lane, passing and finishing. So, you know, that was kind of the whole arsenal from Trae Young offensively, and we saw the positive effects of that in this spot. The passing was good, as it always is. He had one really bad turnover with a left-handed pass. He just kind of overdid it. Other than that, the other three were kind of within the flow of the offense, and, you know, his passing was good as an overall rule. So Young was very good. You know, not quite to the example of Collins. I think Collins being off the floor is more detrimental than Young leaving the floor as a general rule because of the fact that Collins is being replaced by guys who are just much worse than Jeremy Lin in terms of the drop-off there. But Young had it going in this game so much that his absence was also felt in a big way when he came off the floor, and that's worth pointing out as well. So all told, a pretty solid game from the Hawks. You know, I understand it's a 9-point loss. I guess the Dame Lillard-less Blazers team, but that was kind of the expectation according to Vegas and others before the game. So a pretty average, maybe a little bit slightly above average performance from some guys. Obviously, Collins and Young playing well is a good thing. Full stop. Those two guys are your two biggest building blocks moving forward on this roster. And whenever those guys play well, it's probably a good night for Atlanta. I know they lost this game, but we'll see how they fare the rest of the road trip. As I mentioned before, their next game is actually going to be Monday night against the Los Angeles Clippers. That'll be a fun one to monitor because Clippers have been an interesting team this season, all told. That'll be another late night game. In fact, even later, a 10:30 p.m. Eastern time tip-off. So I'm expecting a pretty low listenership for that one, I'm sure. But actually, it would be good to listen to the podcast because if you guys missed the game, and some of you will because it's just the logistics, not wanting to stay up until 1:30 in the morning to finish a basketball game on a Monday night. I understand that, to be sure. So catch up on what happened with the podcast if you missed it. And regardless, we'll be here. It'll be a very late recording time, probably about 2 a.m. or so Eastern time on, I guess, Tuesday morning after that one on Monday night. So we'll be here as always, though. Every single time the Hawks have a West Coast game or any game, we will be here with a podcast of some sort, and we'll break it all down for you in the manner that we always do on the podcast. So please subscribe to the pod. No new show unless something happens. If there's a trade or something between now and then, I will certainly come back and break it all down. But the plan for now is to wait until after Monday night's game for another podcast. So that'll be the plan here. Please subscribe. Please tell your friends. Do all of that. And we'll see you guys on Monday night into Tuesday morning.